You're listening to Fire Engineering Radio, the Future Firefighter Podcast with host Chris Baker.
Attention, Company 3, Company 2, Engine 9, Engine 12, Operator 1, Battalion 1, Battalion 2, District 604, C. Charles. Structure fire, Washington and Union.
Join him and his guests as they discuss how to engage with future members of the fire service through mentorship as they seek a career in the fire service.
Show the fire under control.
Welcome to this episode of Fire Engineering Radio, the Future Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Baker, and tonight we have an excellent show scheduled. Joining me is Chief David Manuel.
Well, thank you, Chris. I am grateful for the opportunity to work with you and your listeners on self-improvement, self-reflection, and moving the fire service forward.
So, Chief, you're one of my mentors, and we've been talking over the last 6 months about our class and planning and scheduling and getting ready for FRI. And I'm just excited to be at another conference. And it's so nice to be able to be amongst you and other mentors and leaders in the fire service here at the conference. So Chief, can you just share for the listeners out in the audience how you got your start in the fire service?
Absolutely, Chris. I started as a scout. Cub Scout through the Boy Scouts, and as I found my way deeper into the Boy Scouts of America program, the town that I grew up in, Stratham, New Hampshire, started an Explorer post, and a bunch of us said, sure, we'd love to learn about the Volunteer Fire Department and Fire Explorers, and we signed in from the troop into the post, and my Scoutmaster was also the troop advisor, the post advisor, and he was the Assistant Fire Chief for the Stratham Volunteer Fire Department. And when I was in high school, I had an opportunity to start learning about fire, EMS, and how it tied into the community. And it was an excellent opportunity that it wrapped our scouting values into community service, into a real application in the field. And when I got to the University of New Hampshire to begin my undergraduate studies, I signed in with the Durham Fire Department's call company as a part-time call firefighter. And I never left. I've been very fortunate through these programs to become the person I am today.
Thank you, Chief, for sharing all of that. Again, I'm just excited to have a mentor like yourself and to be affiliated with you through the IFC, Safety, Health, and Survival Section, and to work on this task force. So, Chief, if you could just talk about, you mentioned before the show about grounding, what that means and how would that be applicable to the future firefighter?
Absolutely. Well, when I think about grounding, I think about the things that influence us as individuals, that integrate us into society and our communities and our organizations, that make us who we are and the people we want to be. And when I think about, I have three kids right now that are in elementary and junior high school, and we spend a lot of time talking about what we do as a family and how we do it and what they do as students and how they do it and scouts and how they do it and what it means and trying to tie it all together. And I guess the thing that I was at Cub Scout camp 2 weeks ago and Boy Scout camp last week as an adult leader helping our youth find their way and learn about themselves. You know, I ask a lot of questions about what's frustrating you about what just happened, or how would you like it to happen next time? What could you do differently? And what role did you play in it? And ask people to reflect on where they fit, where their puzzle piece fits into the puzzle, and how they can work to set an example, to be the person or leader that they want to be while they're walking the walk and talking the talk. And when people reflect or look in the mirror to say, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or maybe I shouldn't have done that, it opens a lot of doors. And if someone is willing to learn and they want to learn, nothing can hold them back. And I guess I think that's very pertinent in the fire service as people are starting. When you're looking for your position or a place where you can fit in, to look for an organization that embraces your culture and your values is very important, as well as just displaying what your values are as an individual.
Well, I think that's perfect and that's excellent. And this is an important topic. When we talk about bullying and harassment, and we talk about our culture, and we talk about the fire service. You and I have had discussions in the past about Chief Bruno and internal customer service and how we treat our fellow members inside our organizations is an example of how we'll interact with the public on the outside of our organization. So having that leadership from the chief officers, the fire officers, the company officers, down to the bottom step firefighters is important. And we all want to take care of Mrs. Smith. We want to give excellent customer service. But it's also important to look at our own mission, vision, and values, our own internal organizational culture. And, you know, what I think about as far as being grounded in the organization and finding an organization that's a good fit is an organization that's thriving to take care of their members. Because in order to take care of Mrs. Smith, we really have to take care of each other. And we take care of each other in the firehouse. You know, we cook together, we live together, we watch TV together, we eat ice cream together. You know, we always do things together. And that's why it's important to be grounded and to have an organization that fits your mission, vision, and values. So, Chief, if you could just talk a little bit more about values and why values is important when we look at internal organizational culture.
Well, that's a great question. When I think about it, I think about values. What makes us work on the inside? And most people that I know that traditionally are trying to get into emergency services via fire, EMS, or law enforcement, they're doing it to have an impact. They're doing it to serve the community. And whether you're serving in the military or emergency services, you're putting your life on the line to help people that you don't know because it's the right thing to do. And whether you get those values through scouting, through your religious organization, or your community fabric, that's what makes me tick inside. And when your values are your moral compass to help you find the true north, and you ask the questions reflecting back on the people you've been speaking about, is that what I'd want to say in front of my mother, or is that the decision my grandfather would make or my grandmother would expect me to do? If you're making all of those people proud by the decisions you make and the actions you take, you'll smile at the end of the day. And your coworkers at the fire station will, when everyone's grounded or has common principles, if it's community service, self-improvement, doing the best you can do every day, you're on the right page. You know, we ask our people to work hard, do the right thing, and make us proud. And when that's the foundation that we're all tied into, it's really hard to lose. No, bad things happen. Everybody makes mistakes. But if our values are to have a learning environment where people make decisions and learn from them, we can all move forward together.
I think that's eloquent. When I think of fit, and you know, this is a topic that I've discussed with one of my mentors, Chief Steve Pierzbowski. And I'm excited to spend a week with him here in Charlotte. And he always talks about that, you know, it's fit and having that good fit for a department. And for the listeners that are listening out in the audience that are on the testing circuit, I have never seen this many jobs ever posted in my career. In the 3 years that I've had this podcast, it's like a perfect storm right now out here on the West Coast in California. It seems like almost every department is hiring. I've probably posted over 50 jobs probably in the last, I would probably say, 2 months just here in California. So when we look at all these organizations that are hiring across the country, that's one of the things that you need to look at as an applicant is fit. What department are you going to be able to thrive in? What department are you going to fit their mission, vision, and values? So as an applicant, when you're doing your research, I suggest at least 40 hours of research. When you're researching a department, do station visits. Go talk to the crews. Make an appointment and see if you can come by and talk to the different shifts. Usually there's an Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, 3 shifts, typically on the 48-96 schedule. So go and meet the crews. Find out what their mission, vision, and values are. Look at their website. Look at their strategic plan, or look at their standards of cover. or look at the city, look at the agency, the bureau, the organization, the umbrella organization for that agency, and look at their mission and vision and values. Look at the charter of the city. Look at their strategic plan. Look at those things. And when you make that decision, when you're applying for that position for that agency, you're making a $6 million decision. And the reason why is an agency is going to invest $3 million into you over the span of your career, 30 years. And then when you retire, that agency is going to invest another $3 million into you as far as your retirement. So you're making a $6 million decision when you decide which agency you're going to apply, test, and then hopefully receive that dream career position. So those are all things that you want to look at, and organizational culture is very, very important.
One of the challenges we've had, and on the East Coast, we're having the same challenges with applicant pool, and we have a fraction of the applicants we normally do. I try to have personal conversations with the top candidates and say, are we the right department for you, or are we right now? Where do you want to be, and how do we fit in with your goals, your investment, your commitment, your support? Because it has to be a marriage, a two-way street where both the fire department is going to win and the candidate or the probationary firefighter, the first-year firefighter is going to win. Because we have to be able to support each other in a way that you're happy and the organization is happy. Because as the fire chief, it's my job to hold the umbrella to make sure that none of our personnel get wet. And when everybody wants to work within those parameters, because we're on the same place, we're on the same page trying to do the right thing. Not everybody wants to work in a college community. I work in the town of Durham, New Hampshire, on the campus of the University of New Hampshire. We do between 2,500 and 3,000 calls a year. Half of them are EMS calls, and half of our overall calls are with our college students or on college property. And anyone who has attended college or is trying and experimenting with life and what it will bring them, we are a very different fire department than all of the communities around us and most of the communities in the state of New Hampshire. So I think that you are absolutely right about station visits and doing homework on where you want to be and how you want to be there. Because our busy times are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights when people are out and about. That's not how normal fire departments are in the state of New Hampshire. So I can't echo what you're saying more about when you're looking, find the place that you want to be and understand what's going to make you happy about the job and the community you're working in.
Chief T, again, he's here at FRI in Charlotte, and he works at UC Davis Fire Department. And that's a specific fit. When you work at a college environment with college students and you have student firefighters, he has an amazing student firefighter program. They have an amazing EMT program. They just started a paramedic program. I've interviewed Chief T. He's another one of my mentors, and that's a specific fit. You have to like working with college students. You have to enjoy teaching the student interns and the residents. You have to enjoy working with student EMTs. They do a lot of fire prevention. The UC Davis Fire Department is amazing. They have a tiller truck. They have a hazmat. You know, they have a lot of laboratories on campus. So the UC Davis campus is huge. And so it's a specific fit when you do research and you're looking for that agency that you want to go work for. Do station visits. Talk to the crews. Find out what the call volume is like. Most of our call volume nowadays is, you know, anywhere from 60 to 80%. And another previous guest, Justin Shore, the Happy Medic, if you actually factor in how many vehicle accidents we go to, and that is EMS when you're doing patient care, we're probably more in the 80 to 85% range when we're looking at our EMS call volume. So that's important when you look at that fit as an organization. Again, it's a $6 million decision, and it's a 30-year commitment. When you sign up and you take that oath, and you get that badge over your heart, that's a commitment that the department is making in you. And then the commitment that you're making to the department, again, is 30 years. So it's important to look at that fit. So thank you, Chief, for sharing that. So if you could share for the listeners, we just got done teaching this amazing class, Respect Our House, Extinguishing Bullying. And then the second part of the class was the train the trainer. If you could just discuss a little bit for the listeners what bullying and harassment is, and if you could just talk a little bit about the class that we just taught together.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to. I can't help but stitch it all together. One of the mentors that I've been fortunate to work with was Chief David Daniels, who was one of the founding members of the Safety Health Survival Section of the IAFC. This guy's been a chief all over the countryside. He is innovative. He's always steps ahead, and he has a different view of taking care of our people and making sure that we're doing the right things. And when I first met him, I had just done some research at the National Fire Academy on the topic of bullying. And Chief Daniels and Chief Kerwood from the IFC were putting together a task force to talk about bullying, harassment, and violence prevention. This is back in 2016. And what we can do to have an impact to make the lives of our members better. So my mentors, this guy hooked me up with a group of fantastic people that set the vision. And we set, you know, our mission and vision was to inspire a culture of dignity and respect by creating and distributing strategies and tools to recognize, prevent, and address bullying in fire and emergency medical services. We knew that we, you know, it's taken us a number of years. We take baby steps. We first started by having a conversation at the section. We built a task force. In FRI 2018, we did a pre-con discussion group to talk about it. And we had, you know, between 70 and 80 people come and say, not only is this important, you need to do this. We followed that by hosting the Workplace Bullying Institute's Workplace Bullying University at IAFC 2019. And we had a full house, and we stacked a group of like-minded people who said, we need to change the culture of the fire service because we need to address workplace bullying. From that, we completed the curriculum for the class that we just did, as well as the train the trainer. And we put this together at the National Fire Academy with then Deputy Fire Administrator Dennis O'Neill and Fire Academy Superintendent Tanya Hoover. Eight of us met them at the National Fire Academy and said, what do we need to do and how do we need to do it to make a successful program to share this information with our people? And one of the balances we had was control over the material or less control and widespread propagation of the information. And we said we need to pass this to as many fire departments as we need to because we recognize that bullying in the fire service is a direct threat to our health, safety, and survival. Bullying is a threat to our health, safety, and survival. So when people say, well, what is bullying? What is workplace bullying? The Workplace Bullying Institute defines bullying, or we commonly associate it with abusive conduct that's threatening, humiliating, or intimidating, work interference, which could be sabotage or preventing work from being done, or verbal abuse. That's the heart of the workplace bullying focus: threatening, humiliating, or intimidating behavior, work interference, or verbal abuse. Now, I say verbal abuse because we're focused on the bullying side of this. We're not focused on the harassment or the assault or any of the other bad things that happen to people. We're just focused on the bullying because we know that if we can break one chain or one link in the chain of incivility, so if someone's not bullied, then we stop it there. There's no harassment. There's no violence. There's no insult to our people. So they are strong mentally, physically, and capable of doing their job with a high level of performance. I guess in the big picture, Chris, we know that workplace bullying in national polls, we know 79 million people across the country are bullied every year. And we want to introduce this conversation to firehouses so we can, one person at a time, begin to change the culture of our organization. And we focus, you know, when things happen, whether it happens to the new person, whether it happens to the probationary firefighter, whether it happens to the person that was just reassigned to a new shift, there are patterns that we can look at. And we have to ask ourselves and our coworkers, is this right? Is this okay? Does it pass the litmus test? Are we doing the right things? And is the way we're treating each other aligned with our organization, the vision and values? Are we doing the right thing?
I think it's that, you know, Captain Mark Von Oppen with Palo Alto with fully involved, and that's one of the big four is do the right thing. And I think it's very important for the listeners out in the audience that are listening, as you're listening to Chief Emmanuel and we're discussing this important topic, when we look at your character, when we look at your respect for the organization, your respect for your coworkers and the community, you always have to do the right thing. And so Chief Pierzbowski, him and Chief Billy Goldfeder, you know, there's always these stories on social media of firefighters doing bad things. And when we look at it, you can see it in the headlines, in the media, in the newspapers. I'll share some mentorship that one of the senior firefighters shared with me when I was new 15 years ago. Don't show up in the papers. You know, you don't want to be like on the front page news. And now in today with social media, firefighters, close calls. When we look at Billy G, the secret list, we see all these firefighters that are out there that are giving the fire service a black eye. So if you had that compass, that internal compass and true north, if that true north, if you focus that always on doing the right thing, then you don't have anything to worry about. If you take care of your internal customers, your coworkers, your organization, and you take care of the community and you always do the right thing, then I honestly think we would have less problems in the fire service. Would you agree?
I couldn't agree more. And Chris, one of the things that people don't think about, you know, the impact, not just to us as individuals, if we do something stupid or if we do something before we're hired and publicize it, or if people learn that we are not walking the walk and doing the right things, it costs you as an individual and it impacts the organization. When we look at bullying in the fire service, the impact of the organization has direct costs, indirect costs, and opportunity costs. You know, it's easy. What are the direct costs? How can bullying upset? What's the direct cost to an organization because we have a bullying problem? Well, if we end up in a legal dispute, whether it's investigations, findings, settlements, terminations, there's a direct cost to that to the community. Is it higher medical and workman's comp overtime because people don't want to come to work? Those are direct costs, not to mention indirect costs that might involve, you know, we talk about high turnover and absenteeism because people don't want to work with this individual, but maybe low employee morale and engagement because nobody wants to work with this person, poor customer service and employee morale because nobody wants to work with a bully. It's the opportunity cost to the community is lost personnel, lost time, and reduced efficiencies. And I do believe that we treat our customers the same way that we're treated. So when the red carpet is rolled out for us, we work harder to roll it out for everyone we're in contact with. And it's important that we're treating our internal customers the same way we expect to be treated on the outside. You're absolutely right.
Well, I think that's excellent. And so the segue there, when we start looking at how we treat each other, I love the fire service. I love the people that I've worked with over the last 15 years. I love coming to FRI and here at Charlotte and being amongst all my mentors and the leaders in the fire service. And for the listeners, if you have the opportunity to attend a conference, I waited 10 years to attend my first conference. Don't wait. If you have the opportunity to go to a local, regional, state, or national conference, go. There's scholarships and there's programs that are out there. Find a mentor. My first conference, one of my mentors helped me to go to my first conference. You know, he's like, hey, Bake, you need to go and do this. And I'll be your wingman and you can shadow me and I can help introduce you to people and help you network and, tell you what classes to take. And it was a great experience. And so for the listeners, find a mentor, go and seek the opportunity to learn, look at different conferences that are out there, and then don't wait. Learn a lot from conferences and from fellowship and talking with other leaders in the fire service. So as we segue here and we start talking about bullying and harassment, and we talk about how we treat each other, it's very important because Chief, as you mentioned, we want people that want to come to work. We want people that are there when Mrs. Smith needs us. When Mrs. Smith calls 911, she needs us to come and mitigate her emergency. And if firefighters have absenteeism, or if they call in sick, or if they have a difficult time with their crew members or the shift that they're working on, they're not going to be either good for themselves, their family, the organization, or Mrs. Smith. So when we look at that, it's very important for you to enjoy what you do. And I know just about everybody that gets into the fire service, they do this because they want to help people. But for the listeners, I need you to listen for a second. You have to help yourself before you can help Mrs. Smith. And if you need help, then you have to reach out to a mentor. You have to reach out to your company officer, your supervisor, your lieutenant, your engineer, your captain, and let them know. I remember when I was new and my engineer and captain were having a little too much fun, and they were giving me a bad time. And so I had to talk to him. I was like, "Hey guys, did I do something wrong? You know, why are you guys giving me a bad time?" And they're like, "Bake, if we're making fun of you, it's because we like you. If we weren't making fun of you, then that means that, you know, that we don't like you." And so 15 years ago, you know, the new probie firefighter, wet behind the ears, green, I didn't understand what the tradition, the culture was, that there's this breaking in period and there's this acceptance period. But the moral of the story is, if you're having difficulty with people that you're on shift with, the most important thing is to work things out on your level, communicate, talk to your coworkers, your peers, your fellow firefighters, engineers, captains, and say, "Hey," and, you know, counsel in private, praise in public. So pull them aside and just, you know, talk to them. Just be like, "Hey, I'm having difficulty. I'm having a hard time. A misinterpretation. Was it the way it was perceived? Tone?" I mean, you look at all these things. You know, when we run a lot of calls and we have lack of sleep, and some of our calls are traumatic calls, sometimes it's easy to get disengaged and you get tunnel vision into the job. But the most important aspect of the fire service is our people, and we got to make sure that our people enjoy being at work and that enjoy doing what they do and that they enjoy taking care of Mrs. Smith. So Chief, can you just kind of talk about how, if a new firefighter, let's say one of our listeners has a conflict or has difficulty with one of their crew members, what would be your advice to that new firefighter if they need to have a one-on-one or if they need to talk to their company officer about that conflict?
Chris, that's a great question. I think the most important thing I think about is having a solid network of relationships. And the relationships are both in the firehouse that you're working in, or even before you start to work somewhere, you build the relationships to understand who you can talk to about any kind of different challenge you have. It's important that you have a mentor and people to work with. And it's important that when I think about that, I think about as a newer person or as a younger person or as a person who's transitioning into the fire service, you need more than one person to listen to. You know, sometimes the loudest person is the one who has center stage that everybody looks up to, but the loudest person's not always right. To look for or to build a relationship with a person who's grounded, that you trust, with a mutual trust, is going to be your strongest ally or your best asset if you're confronted with a different cult situation. Because you can go to this person who you're friends with or who you work with that you have a relationship to say, you know, "Hey, I'm trying to understand the culture. What is this ritual? Why is it about probation? Is this harassment? Is this assault? Is this bullying? It doesn't seem that it's aligned with the organization. Tell me about how this works again, because it makes me feel this way." And by asking questions of the person that you trust, you can navigate the channel or find the best way to address a concern or a problem. One of the things that is aligned with bullying is there's multiple sides of the equation. There's a bully, there's a target, and in the middle, there's bystanders. So the bully is not the person that you want to talk to first. That will come later in the equation, possibly. So one of the bystanders is you need to have alignment with, or you need to build an ally within the organization to work with. And Chris, I can't emphasize enough how we all fit into bystanders in the bystander effect, because when bystanders do not intervene and they permit mistreatment of one of our brothers or sisters, as a bystander, we are empowering the bully. We're letting them get away with something that they shouldn't do. It's each of our individual responsibilities to say, hey, that's not okay, or what's going on, or hey, time out. Is this what our organization supports? And they're very challenging words. You know, we spent a lot of time today working on role-playing in this program, so people have the opportunity to have a difficult conversation. And it's even more challenging if you're the new person in the room, or you're interviewing fire departments to see which one you want to work for. This is a big red flag, or definitely a caution flag, that you need to understand what you're going to get into, because the best way of addressing bullying in an organization before you work there is not to go to work there. Pick a different organization that has a culture that's aligned with your values and beliefs. If you know that the officer you're about to be assigned with has a history of using the power imbalance, supporting the bullying characteristics, have a negative impact on their people, for you to blindly sign onto their ticket is going to be problematic, or there's a high probability it's going to have an impact on you personally, professionally, or your career. So to answer your question, I think building relationships and knowing who to use as a confidant to help guide you through the process and ask the right questions would be the most important thing that I'd share with listeners today.
When you're that new rookie boot plug probationary firefighter and you are searching for that senior firefighter, you're searching for that mentor. Either when you look at mentors, you can look at internal or external. Some of my greatest mentors are outside of California, and they're here at Charlotte, North Carolina. David Daniels, Chief Daniels, excellent leader in the fire service, and I've worked with him through the National Fire Heritage Center and a champion for this class and why we're here today, and meeting with Chief Hoover and Chief Bryant and Dr. O'Neill, and making this class a reality is very important. And Chief Daniels has been a champion for that. When we look at having leaders and mentors, and we look at having somebody that we can ask questions to and ask for advice, it's important to have a network. It's important to have people that you can contact. So if you're listening right now, have at least three people that you can contact in your phone. Have their best means of contact, either by text, by phone call, email, text, direct message, either Facebook Messenger or Instagram direct messenger or Twitter. Find whatever is the best way to contact those people. And if you feel like you're being harassed or bullied on duty, it's important for you to reach out and ask for help and get guidance. Either it's a senior firefighter that you work with, or it's a mentor that could be from a different organization that would have a different lens to be able to see it from a different angle, a point of view. One of my bullying stories, as an engineer working at a station, my company officer woke me up at 11 o'clock at night when I was asleep to do my evaluation. And I reported that. I went to my organization and I actually filled out a report that's harassment. Like, normal business hours are Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And to be a professional organization and to treat our members professionally, it's important to do those evaluations during normal business and work hours. So I reached out to one of my mentors and I asked for help. You know, what do I do in this situation? Is this normal? Is this what fire departments, is this normal business practices? Is this what a normal organization, is this how they would normally treat their members? So those are kind of some examples, and having that mentor, having that person that you can reach out to and ask for help, I think is key. So Chief, What would be the best way for the listeners in the audience to contact you if they have any questions?
I would say look me up on LinkedIn is the easiest way. Dave Emanuel, the Durham, New Hampshire Fire Department, and we'll connect that way. You can find me through the town's website for the Durham, New Hampshire Fire Department, and I'm always happy to catch up with people. And I get my energy from working with people like you and the core of this task force that is trying to leave the fire service better than it was when we got here and to pay it forward. Because any of us that can work to make the connection with someone, it can make all the difference in the world. And Chris, just to function back, you know, to circle back on your mentoring, you know, I encourage people to have people inside their organization to mentor them. People, like you said, people outside of their organization to mentor them, and then someone junior to them that they can help mentor. So you have all three legs of the stool covered, and asking questions, keep asking questions about, am I setting my moral compass correctly, or is this the right thing to do? Because we can make a tremendous difference. The first few times I delivered programs on toxic workplace environments and bullying in the fire service, I wasn't sure how it was going to go. This is 2013, 14, 15. Nobody was talking about this stuff yet. And a lot of people were saying it was all hocus pocus. And the first few times I did it in every class, someone came to the front and said, I never looked at it that way before. I thought it was me. And described very personal situations up to thinking about taking their life because of the way they were treated and blamed and minimalized. So I cannot stress to our listeners enough to do the right thing. Don't sit on your hands. Ask questions. Align yourself with people that are the warriors for the right thing in your organization, not necessarily the loudest, and follow your heart to deliver the best fire and EMS services we can for emergency services, to do it right. If your grandparents and your parents would be proud of what you're doing, you're on the right page. If you'd be embarrassed by what you just said or what you just did to someone or what just happened to your coworker, we are all responsible to make sure that everyone goes home. And this is quintessential to our mission, taking care of ourselves, taking care of our brothers and sisters. It's not easy. It's not always fun, but we owe it to each other. We owe it to each other to do the right thing.
When we look at suicide rates, we're having more suicides than we are line of duty deaths. And when we look at our brothers and sisters in Canada, and we look at fire service, and we discussed earlier about our culture, we have to do a better job of taking care of each other. I've had friends, I've had mentees, I've had fellow instructors that have committed suicide. They left behind their families. They leave behind their children, their spouses, and they become widows. And the fire department, we adopt those children, those families. We honor them, you know, the legacies that they leave behind. And we are a family. We discuss how the fire service is a family. And so when we look at taking care of each other, would you treat your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, would you treat them like that? So when we talk about our guiding light, we talk about having that internal compass and talking about doing the right thing. For those bystanders that are watching that happen, you become accomplices. You empower the bully. And a good senior firefighter stands up and says no. A good senior firefighter stands up and says no, not in my house. So when we look at extinguishing bullying, it takes all of us, a concert effort, collaborative effort, that the fire service is better than that. If the public was watching you, or if the fire chief was watching you, the city manager, the city council, if your organization, your customers are watching you do that, and that behavior, either in public or in private, if you wouldn't do it in front of your mom or dad or your grandma or grandpa, then why are you doing it to your coworker? Why are you doing it to another public safety servant? We all want people to go home after the shift. We want people to thrive. We want people to have good careers in the fire service. There's people that are in the fire service that can do better. So I'm just asking the listeners, the newer firefighters, the boots, the plugs, the probies, be empowered. Firefighter Life Safety Initiative 4 is empowerment. even though you're brand new, you've only been on the job a cup of coffee, please know that bullying and harassment isn't acceptable in the fire service. So, Chief, thank you for the gift of your time. This has been an amazing episode, and I'm excited to be here in Charlotte, and I'm excited to be on this task force. So, Chief, in closing, if somebody was interested in joining the IFC or the Safety, Health, and Survival section, or if they were interested in joining this task force, how would they be able to do that?
Chris, that's a great question. Right now, we are still evolving. That being said, we have a toolbox online with the International Association of Fire Chiefs. And if you Google IAFC and Bully Toolbox, it should bring you to a site that has a plethora of articles for us, as well as different ways to connect with the committee, the task force. We hope to have upcoming programs as we distribute information across or invited to present this program across the country. And I'm hoping that we will hit a number of the major conferences over the next 12 months and that we'll be invited to all the different regions across the country to deliver this program to align our members with health, safety, and survival. You know, I guess one, the other thing I think about when I think about the life safety initiatives is whether it's cultural change or number one, or number 13, psychological support, number two, accountability. Bullying in the fire service, the prevention of bullying in the fire service, the education and awareness of our members ties in with a number of the life safety initiatives. I would ask the question of our listeners, do you want a job or do you want a career? And how do you want to fit in? I challenge our listeners to be to strive for the highest, to pay it forward, because you are the next generation of the fire service. As you move into to fill vacancies and staff the fire stations across our country, you are the people who are going to help us change the culture in the fire service and to break the cycle of incivility and to make sure that our members have long, healthy, happy lives. Chris, I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Chief. And that's excellent. I love having discussions with my mentors and with you. And that hits an important point home. This is your fire service. It takes all of us to make it better. So for all the listeners that are listening, we need good people in the fire service to take care of Mrs. Smith. We need good firefighters. We need good public safety servants that have good moral fiber that want to be part of the fire service. And we all have to make it better because it's our fire service. So if you want bullying and harassment, black eyes for the organization, and you want we talked about the press and the media and all these firefighters that give the fire service a bad name, we need to stand up and say, no, we're better than that. And that's not what the fire service is about. Because the public, they read one headline, and unfortunately, they think the whole organization or the whole department or the whole fire service is like that. And it just takes one bad apple to give us a bad reputation. So when you look at that badge and you hang that badge on your heart, you can keep that badge shiny or it can get tarnished. And you got to remember, behind that badge is your heart. So that heart of the public safety servant is important. And like Chief mentioned, I have to echo that guiding light, that compass, that internal compass, always do the right thing and take care of Mrs. Smith and take care of each other. So Chief, thank you again for the gift of your time and for your patience in scheduling this episode. And I'm just excited to be on this task force and to make the fire service better.
Chris, it's been a pleasure being with you, and I'm glad that we could catch up in Charlotte. And I really appreciate the work you're doing to help foster and mentor the next generation of firefighters for the country. I think you're doing a great job, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you.